Good morning and welcome to On Fire Radio, brought to you by Catskill Mountain Christian Center, a full gospel family church and Christian academy located at 629 Main Street in beautiful Margaretville, New York. What a great day to go to church. If you don't have a church, come on over to Catskill Mountain Christian Center. We would love for you to be our guest this morning. That's Catskill Mountain Christian Center this morning at 10 o'clock. If you'd like more information about On Fire Radio or Catskill Mountain Christian Center, give us a call at 845-586-4848. I'm Renard Bartow, and I'd like to invite you to join us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you On Fire Radio. Now let's go to Pastor Bob Engelhart with today's message.
Begin with the book of John chapter 8 and verse 12. It says, "Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." And now Matthew 5:14, it says, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden." Okay, so Jesus says two things. He says, "I am the light of the world." And then he says, "You are the light of the world." Isn't that kind of cool? It's on some level vicarious, because when we walk in Jesus, we are walking in his light, because he is the light, the big light of the world. He is the source of all the light of the world. And as we carry him in our lives, as we receive from him and carry him, we become little lights. He's the big light with little lights. And as I was thinking about this, preparing this, I was thinking about fireflies. Maybe because it's February and there ain't no fireflies around. I love fireflies. I think it probably has something to do with nostalgia, because I remember every young person, you know, when you connect with the world, your first vision of a field filled with fireflies is a magical experience. You know, in the darkness or in the dusk, when the fireflies start coming, it's usually earlier in the summer. They don't last all summer long usually, but there's a season of fireflies when they're just spectacular, and they just are. Aren't they magical? They're just like wonderful. They're lights in the darkness. And I think that's a great metaphor for what Jesus is calling us to be. A thing I have noticed is that the church tries very hard to connect with the world. And Paul says, you know, there's something to it. Paul says, "I become all things to all men so that some may be saved." So there's something about that, being culturally relevant or being able to connect culturally, not being so out of touch culturally that we're like complete aliens, right? But also there should be something so distinct about us, like a light in the darkness. And maybe you only see it flashing on and off, and maybe it's hard to run and catch, but there's something about fireflies that the piercing, it's even a soft light. Even in the darkness is a soft light, right? It's a soft light. You want to catch it and put it in a jar because you want to look at it, and you put it in a jar, and as little boys, please forgive me if this ooey's somebody, but we used to smear them on our skin and watch our skin glow for a little while, right? Nobody else did that, I'm sure, just me. But you know, that's kind of the mystery of a firefly. It's the fact that it has light. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world, you are the light of the world. I am the light of the world, you are the light of the world. I am the light of the world, you are the light. I am the big firefly, you are the little firefly. You are in darkness. You are in darkness. This is a dark culture. This is a dark time. Our nation is ripped in two like I've never seen it before. Our nation is just torn down the middle like I've never seen it before. Right? And it just creates sort of an environment for darkness. So I believe that the sense of being the light of the world is something that we tend to avoid at the expense of offending our friends, at the expense of offending family members. That the gospel, it feels so radioactive in many environmental circles that we walk in, that the gospel feels so radioactive that we're afraid to show that we have this light because people fear that it's radioactive. They want to run from it, right? They don't want anything to do with this light. But the truth is, when God's love literally does dwell inside of you, that light becomes really, really something that people want to be near. People want to be close to God's love. When you're flashing the light of God's love, when it's in you and you're emanating God's love, when it emits the rays of God's love from inside of you, I want to tell you something. People want to be around you. They may not always want to be around you, but they want to be around you. It's like the firefly running after the firefly. It's something mysterious. See, God's love is not human love. There's a wonderful a conversation between Jesus and Peter after Jesus is resurrected, and the guys are in the boat. Peter says, I'm going fishing. Peter wasn't saying, I'm going to go fishing, like you and I go fishing. He was saying, I'm going back to my job as a fisherman. That's what he was saying. And it says, all the other disciples followed him. Now, Jesus has just spent 3.5 years training these guys and going to his death on the cross, training them how to be apostolic ministers, how to spread the gospel into all the world, right? And so they go to college to be a lawyer or a doctor, and they decide to become fishermen again because he just reverted back to what he knew. Said, I'm going fishing. And so they're all out on the boat, on the sea, fishing, and they see somebody over on the shore. And John says, it's always funny because John and Peter have this, you see there's a connectedness between them. John says, that's Jesus. And Peter looks, puts on his outer cloak. Isn't it funny, before he sees Jesus, he puts on his outer cloak because it's appropriate? Because now he's going to jump in the water and swim to the shore. He doesn't take off his coat. He puts on his coat because it's appropriate. Right? He swims to the shore. Jesus is having this fish fry over on the shore. He says, come on, guys, eat. Eat up. Jesus sits and eats with them, and he has a conversation with Peter. And he says, Peter, do you love me? 3 times. He says, Peter, do you love me? And 3 times, Peter says, Lord, you know I love you. And after every time, Jesus says, feed my sheep, tend to my lambs, feed my flocks, you know, or something like that. That's a paraphrase. But in the original language, it doesn't exactly say that. It says, Peter, do you agape me? And Peter responds, Lord, I phileo you. Now, agape is the specific kind of word used for the God love. In ancient Greek literature, it only really came in vogue in Christianity. It is found very few places in other Greek literature. It is almost the word for God love. God love, Peter was saying, Lord, I phileo you, Philadelphia, brotherly love. Right? I love you with all the human love I have, Jesus. You know I love you. Yeah, but do you agape me? Lord, you know I phileo you. I love you with all the human love I have. He's basically saying, I wouldn't even put myself in your class. in the God class of love. I love with human love as much as I can love yet, but I don't really know that I can even say that word back to you. Interesting, no? So agape is something that comes from Jesus. Agape is something you get from the presence of the Lord. Agape is something that dwells within you and is a different thing. When Paul in 1 Corinthians 13 defines love, he's defining agape. Love is kind. You know, love is not rude. Love is not puffed up. Love is, you know, all of the wonderful characteristics in 1 Corinthians 13. So in connecting with Jesus, when someone is born again, your spirit, which was dead in sin, when you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you say those words, you believe in your heart the Lord Jesus, you confess with your mouth that he is Lord, your spirit is reborn, your spirit is born anew, and you now have this connection to the throne room of God. The Bible says you're seated with Christ in heavenly places. Ephesians chapter 1. Is that not nuts? You're seated with Christ in heavenly places. The only thing is it's hard to know that in your consciousness. You have to know it first by faith before you begin to experience it. Because it's faith that says unto this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea. It's faith. Listen, sometimes I feel like I have to apologize. This is church, and in church is only one source of authority. I only have one source of authority. That's the Word of God. That's the Bible. You understand? I'm not here to talk sociology, psychology, counseling, those kind of things. This is where the authority of the church lies, on the foundation that's sure and set and never changing, the foundation of God's Word. So my proof text has always got to be the Word of God. We use examples from real life. We'll use examples from psychologists and sociologists and anthropologists and scientists and great thinkers. We'll use all of those in as much as it serves us in the Word of God. Yeah? So I really believe we can consider ourselves fireflies. That agape that you've now received, you've got to work to turn that light on. That flashing on and off. A firefly can only sustain that light for so long, and it's got to shut it off. Maybe our light comes in bursts. Maybe we have to gather up our will, and that light will come in bursts. And if that's the way it comes, that's the way it comes until you can carry that light with you continually. And you recognize that there's an essential difference between the way you view life and you view the world around you differently than other people do. And then you become very much impassioned to share that light. Because you know what? God wants every human being lit up. God is not a respecter of persons. He's not a respecter of persons. The people that you connect with, you interact with, you know, they're you waiting to happen. They're the born-again you waiting to happen. John 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. Who are we talking about? Jesus, right? Without him, nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. When you receive Jesus, you receive the light. You receive the life. It says, light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it, comprehend it. You know, it feels like we're being swallowed up. The church is a tiny entity, is being swallowed up. Well, that firefly is not a tiny entity. The firefly's light is not swallowed up by the darkness. Is not eradicated by the darkness. As a matter of fact, the darker it is, the brighter the light shines. Can't see a firefly during the day. 1 John 2:10 says, he who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. So how do we know that the light is shining in us? Because you have love for your brethren. Do you always feel like having love for your brethren? No. No, we're human. No, we don't. We still carry those other feelings with us, but the longer we walk in this walk, we should have the opportunity to grow in love for one another. You should love God's people out of your will. It doesn't necessarily have to be the spontaneous things. You all are so wonderful. You know, I've never met such a wonderful group of people. We're people. And as we grow, the love, the light of God does emanate from us, does radiate from us. We do become little lights. Matthew 5:16, let your lights shine before men so they can see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So this light of our Christianity is something that God wants us to radiate. Let your light shine before men. I love Jesus. I may not know very much. I may not have many answers for your deep existential questions. But I love Jesus. And you know what? In all the world, wait a minute, let me think. Yep, I can believe in him. I have the ability. My heart has the ability to believe in him. I can. And I've been doing this for a long time. And the first day I was saved, the next day I said, Lord, how can I believe this? Right? I got saved. I had an experience with Jesus. But then I said, Lord, how can I believe this? I've been raised in a fish tank of unbelief. You know, on every side, I was trained that way to think in a scientific and a secular and a materialistic way through my public school education, where they basically were saying that you don't really need God. They said you can have this kind of existence and have a portion of your life that does not include God, and that's perfectly okay. And now I'm finding a God that wants to be a part of every moment of every day. In my mind, in my heart, in my communications, in my friendships, how can that be? How can I even believe in you? Do you know the size of the universe, God? Do you know how old this rock is? What they told me, how old this rock is? Do you know what a mess we are, humanity? Do you know how much hatred there is? How can this be? How can this Jesus be? But see, my experience actually bought me. God probably paid a couple $1 million just for me to believe for that first 5 minutes so that I could begin to work on my brain. I could begin to read resources that allowed my faith to grow. And those were resources that were, first of all, biblical. First of all, I wanted to read Jesus. But after that, I wanted to find good scholarly work that underpinned this new faith I had. And you know what? I found out over, I don't know, since 1982, however long that is, since 1982, that I've never found a question unanswered. I'm not saying that there aren't opposing views on every one of those questions. What I'm saying is my intellect was satisfied. You get it? If my intellect is satisfied, I'm not a liar when I tell you that I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. I can't help it. I'm not one of these ministers that tells you that every day I have to deal with these deep doubts. I do not deal with deep doubts. The only one I doubt in this equation is moi. Are you with me? So I just kind of want to finish up a little early, but I want to read this story to you. This is about a missionary who died thinking he was a failure. In 1912, medical missionary Dr. William Leslie went to live and minister to tribal people in a remote corner of the Democratic Republic of Congo. After 17 years, he returned to the U.S., a discouraged man, believing he failed to make an impact for Christ. He died 9 years later after his return. But in 2010, a team led by Eric Ramsey and Tom Cox World Ministries made a shocking and sensational discovery. They found a network of reproducing churches hidden like glittering diamonds in the dense jungle across the Kwili River in Vango, where Dr. Leslie was stationed. With the help of Mission Aviation Fellowship, Ramsey and his team flew 2.5 hours to Cessna, in a Cessna. That's very funny. That's a real faux pas right there, to Cessna. He flew in a Cessna to Vanga. From there, they hiked a mile to the Kwili River and used dugout canoes to cross the half-mile expanse. They hiked with backpacks for another 10 miles into the jungle before they reached the first village of the Yancey people. Okay, so this is in 2010. Based on his previous research, Ramsey thought the Yancey in this remote area might have some exposure to the name of Jesus, but no real understanding of who he is. They were unprepared for their remarkable find. When they got there, we found a network of reproducing churches throughout the jungle, Ramsey reports. Each village had its own gospel choir, he notes. They wrote their own songs and would have sing-offs from village to village. They found a church in each of the 8 villages they visited, scattered across 34 miles. Ramsey and his team even found a 1,000-seat stone cathedral in one of the villages. He learned that this church got so crowded during the 1980s, with many walking miles to attend, that a church planting movement began in the surrounding villages. He said there is no Bible in the Yancey language. They use a French Bible, so those who taught had to be fluent in French. Apparently, Dr. Leslie crossed the Kwili River once a year from Vanga and spent a month traveling through the jungle. He would teach the Bible. He would teach tribal children how to read and write. He would talk about the importance of education and told Bible stories, Ramsey notes. Dr. Leslie started the first organized educational system in these villages. It took some digging for Ramsey to uncover Leslie's identity. The tribal people only knew him by one name, and I didn't know if that was the first or last name. They knew he was a Baptist and that he was based in one city, and they knew the years that he was based there. When Ramsey returned home, he did some additional investigation and discovered Dr. Leslie was affiliated with the American Baptist Missionary Union. The American Baptist Missionary Union was founded in 1814, and Dr. Leslie was born in Ontario, and he followed his intended profession as a pharmacist until his conversion in 1988. He moved to Chicago, where God began to grip his heart with a desire to become a medical missionary. Dr. Leslie initiated his Congo service in 1893. He got saved in 1888. He left as a missionary in 1893. 2 years later, he developed a serious illness. In 1905, William and his wife, Clara, pioneered a work in Angola, where they overcame a hurricane and more mundane obstacles like charging buffaloes and armies of ants. 7 years later, they cleared through enough jungle in the Kwili River at Vanga for a new mission station perched on a small plateau. Some of the villages surrounding Vanga were still participating in cannibalism at the time. They spent 17 years at Vanga, but their service ended on a rocky note. Dr. Leslie had a falling out with some of the tribal leaders and was asked not to come back, Ramsey says. They reconciled later. There were apologies and forgiveness, but it did not end like he hoped. His goal was to spread Christianity, and he felt like he was there for 17 years and never really made much of an impact, but the legacy he left is huge. So, talking about fireflies, and sometimes in our Christianity, we don't feel very successful. We don't feel like we've had an impact on a person or people by being who we are and even sharing as meekly or as modestly. We share the message of who we are and that we're Christians in this very, very intellectual and sophisticated society. Like Dr. Leslie spent 17 years sharing the gospel as a medical missionary, visiting villages, teaching children, doing all the things that you all have done for these past 30 years that I've been here. All of these things that we have done, teaching children, conducting Bible studies, having services, singing, worship teams, thousands of hours of people who have poured into people, our Pastor Raul and Suma, who are caring for the Latino portion of our community with all of their heart. Tough plowing, you know. And I think there's some days I could maybe talk to Pastor Raul and maybe his heart would be heavy, because we've wanted such a passion. We have such a passion to see our brothers and sisters from that community, immigrants to our nation, blessed. You know, we do represent another kingdom. You know, politics aside, what we represent here is another kingdom, the kingdom of God. And so our job is to spread that word to everything. The Bible says, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Amen? And so the work that we do, sometimes it feels futile, and sometimes we see the reward. You know, that they tend, those moments tend to come like firefly moments, right? We'll be walking and trudging and plowing, and the light will come on. And we'll all rejoice that the light is on. And then we'll go back into a season of trudging and plowing and working. Are you with me? But the sum total of the years and the time, the investment, the care, the love, the forbearance. You know, what is forbearance? Forbearance is the fact that we have to put up with each other. That's not easy. Right? You got to put up with me, you know, for better or for worse. You know, but we also have to put up with each other. You have to go home and have to put up with your family. You have to work to thrive in your marriage. You have to work to thrive, children, to respect your parents. Because that's a commandment of the Lord. Right? We have to thrive. That's forbearance. As we walk together, we end up being like Dr. Leslie. And maybe, just maybe, somebody will come 100 years later and find a thriving church planting movement. As we've already shown the model of church planting through CMCC, that will show the model of church planting and reproducing ourselves and still joyously serving the Lord. See, that's our hope. That's what you got when you receive Jesus Christ, the light of the world. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He said, you are the light of the world. He said, I am the light of the world. He said, you are the light of the world. I am the light of the world. You are the light. Turn that light bulb on. Baby, let it shine. Yeah?
Hey there, this is Jake Johnson, and I want to thank you today for listening to our podcast, On Fire Radio. We pray that this word has ministered to you today, and maybe today God has shown you your need for Him in your life. John chapter 8, and in verses 31 and 32, Jesus said, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Jesus makes us free from our sin. If you need to make Jesus first in your life today and be set free, would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, I recognize that I'm a sinner. I repent for my sins today and ask that you would cleanse me with your blood. I place you first in my life and ask that you would give me the power of the Holy Spirit. I walk forward this day in a new relationship with you, God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I want to encourage you to start reading your Bible. You can even download the YouVersion Bible app on your mobile device and start a plan for new believers. Start a prayer life as well and start carving out time in your day to spend time with God. And I want to personally invite you to Catskill Mountain Christian Center. We have service every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. at 629 Main Street in Margaretville, New York. Powerful worship, dynamic teaching, and an encouraging time of fellowship. On Fire Radio is a ministry of Catskill Mountain Christian Center and is brought to you free online and on the radio each week because of generous donations from listeners like you. You can partner with us in serving God's vision for this area by donating online at our website, www.cmcconline.org. From there, you can also connect with us on all our social media platforms, Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, and Twitter. Send us a message and let us know how this ministry is impacting your life. On behalf of Pastor Bob Englehart, this is Jake Johnson, signing off. God bless, and we'll see you in church.